I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna fuck with me. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Are you kidding me or what? Wednesday, May 8th. The day you've been fucking waiting for all your goddamn life is today. Get up, some coffee, a couple jumping jacks, some reefer, whatever. You're ready for the fucking day. They mean business out there. That's why I got Tupac on for you today, so we ain't fucking around. But, my ambition's just a ride. Get your fucking bike, motorcycle, get your tricycle. I don't give a fuck what you do today. Today's your lucky day. It's the best day of your fucking life. Trust me, I'm telling you. I got my main man Lee over here sparking numbers. Look at him. Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
What happened? Tupac was about to drop. Oh, shit. His ambitions is a ride. Oh shit, a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. And the best thing about it is, you're in this fucking world. Get up, cocksucker. Glee, you didn't put shorts on. How you gonna do jumping jacks with no shorts?
I can do jumping jacks.
Alright, just checking. I just checking here because I want no fucking problems. May 9th, what is it? May 8th, Wednesday.
What's going on today? Something's going on. You came in. I get home from work at like 3:30, 4 in the morning. He gets mad because I'm not fucking writing jokes. Doing push-ups. You can't do this 24 hours a day. I'm not on blow. You can't.
I walk in.
You had 8 free seconds. Why weren't you doing dumbbell curls?
I come in, people. He's sitting there on the fucking couch like a mambo. His face.
Yeah, because I've been up all day.
He's been sitting there for 3 hours. He got home at 3:30. He's been sitting there. He could have taken a nap for an hour. He could have taken a shower.
No, because then I won't sleep for the when this is over.
You could have greased your hair, do back.
Who am I being presentable for?
You know what I'm saying? You haven't taken a shower since 8 in the morning yesterday. Your balls got to smell like fucking little Arizona. You know what I'm saying? Anything,
I don't know what I did to deserve this in my old life.
What I'm trying to say to you is anything better than sitting there watching fucking ESPN. That's what I got a problem.
No, it's not. Not at 4 in the morning.
You're watching ESPN.
Not at 4 in the morning.
About fucking basketball that got nothing to do with you. You know. You know what I'm saying? You don't gamble, or you did gamble, and you came back on a fucking bus with Los Angeles a bus on your fucking that 800 killed you, didn't it? You couldn't fucking sleep for like a week. You drew blood.
Yeah, a few days.
Must have been boiling. Yeah, I could see it in your face. You were all discombobulated. You went off the juicer. You went to McDonald's.
I didn't go to McDonald's. Every day you call me. I heard you were jumping up and down with Mexicans at McDonald's having 18 cheeseburgers. I haven't been to McDonald's.
Don't be lying to me, Kyle. One of my good sources said you're at McDonald's. You went in there with a fucking disguise on.
You have no sources. You sit at home and you talk to Superbad. That's your source.
Superbad fucking knows. It's funny, I've had Superbad now. I haven't had him. But he's been in my life now for 6 fucking years, and you could tell. Like, Superbad's my fucking little buddy. It's. What are you doing? You lighting these fucking things?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. My stove isn't a good lighter. You've been smoking for 30 years.
Light this one for your Uncle John. That one was fucked up anyway. Light this one for your Uncle John. I talk to the people.
All right.
You're slipping, Lee.
I'm slipping.
Everything's good, though. It's fucking Wednesday. You got the week. I had a good day yesterday. I went to acupuncture. I fucking rolled a little bit yesterday, learning some shit. You know, it's just a typical fucking Wednesday. We got a great guest today. We got music. We got reefer. We got everything you need to make this day the fucking best day of your life. I don't even know what happened in the news, and I don't want to know. Yesterday, I took my wife out to dinner last night. She got home about 5, so I didn't watch Barbara Walters, the other one, Diane Sawyer, that's my girl. I think, I caught the tail end, and nothing was fucking going on, so I don't even know what's going on in the world. Fucking the Koreans, they shut the fuck up, you know. They finally went to Mount Fuji or some fucking restaurant. Nobody remembers Mount Fuji. Mount Fuji was the original, what do you call that shit? The original Benihanas. When I was a fucking kid, Mount Fuji was the shit, and they served you. They didn't give a fuck if you were 10. Those Japanese people served you. Did you know that, Lee?
What?
When I was a fucking kid.
When you were kid, what?
This joint is tremendous. It's a mix of like 9 different explosive reefers. It really is. It's like,
I'm going to be so stoned. I've lit like 18 joints for you. I think that's what you just wanted me to do.
Wait till I got the edible for next week. Because my buddy told me that he drinks kale shakes too. he's on a juicing thing, and he just figured out how to put the reef in my Dolce. You're done.
Good. Well, what happened when you were a kid?
Nothing. That's why I'm sitting here.
Seeing fucking stars right now because of all that fucking huffing and puffing with the joints.
Did you swim yesterday?
Yeah.
How many laps?
I did 10. I can do like there and back, so 5 of those, and I can do a length that, and I have to take like a 30-second break.
You got little goggles?
No, why do I need goggles for?
Because I don't want the chlorine going in your eyes. That's what they do. That's how they invented the fucking chlorine to fuck with Jews' eyes, so they can't see how much money they got in the bank. I still got it, even on a Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. with no fucking lighter.
Jesus Christ. No, but yeah, I've been liking that.
I'm very proud of you, Lee.
I'm adding that to my thing. This new job has been tough, so, but I'm...
Did you interview at the new one?
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. But, I haven't done a YouTube video yet. I'm going to start. I'm doing it before I go to work today.
That's what you could have been doing for 2 fucking hours. You see what I'm saying? Lee, you can't bullshit me. You think like I come in here and I pick on you. I don't pick on you. I have not seen a video. I know there's 90 people hit me up. Where's Lee's video?
There'll be one before I go to work today, but I'm adding it starting from yesterday. I'm doing 30 straight days of the juice, and I'm going to do 30 straight days of working out.
You can't do 30 straight because then you'll rip shit. You got to give yourself
2 days of
fucking reconsideration to rest. I don't want you killing yourself. This is what your fucking problem is.
I'm not going
to
hurt anything in the pool. It's still low impact.
You'll give 1 day to fucking rest your joints. You just started this thing. I don't want you to throw your back out and you can't do it. God forbid. You can't do that. I can't do the podcast. I can't sit there.
If I called you from a hospital and said I couldn't do the podcast, you'd come over to the hospital room
and drag you the fuck out of there and beat you to death until you could do the fucking podcast. That's how much I love you.
Exactly. So what are you
talking
about?
Time to bleed. You got no time to bleed in this life. You got no time for none of that shit. You don't even give fuck. If you get shot, you're like Denzel and Man on Fire. He got shot and he was in the pool fucking doing laps. Remember?
Yeah.
That's you. If I shoot you tomorrow, you ain't going to the hospital, none. You're going to break into a pharmacy and steal a fucking syringe.
Like, oh, I could never do that. That's
fucking Cage. I don't fucking know.
That's the entire reason I don't want to get diabetes, because I could never give myself shots.
And this is why we got to take care of this shit. Because the juicing will help you. But the exercise builds insulin. The insulin fights the fucking diabetes or something like that. I ain't a doctor. I'm going to see Dr. Steve tomorrow in Arizona. He used to talk to me about that. That's very important. Right now, you're in good. You don't need that shit. So you gotta get you gotta get that dick going. This is at 24. You end up one of those jelly belly dudes that shakes when you walk. You ever see those dudes? They all shake. They got a Starbucks with coffee and sugar in it, and they're fucking walking down, shaking, doing that fucking hemi shake. Get your shit together, cocksucker.
Jelly belly.
Yeah, jelly fucking belly. You know the fuck. All raggedy, riggedy out. Listening to all you hear is. Jump, 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 jump. Those dudes that died last week, whatever the fuck.
Oh, Crisscross.
Crisscross. You used to sing to that, didn't you? When you were a little kid, you used to dance that in 94.
I think I was 6, so I was a little bit too young. But yeah, I mean, I heard it, but yeah.
Don't be lying to me, cocksucker. So everything's good in your world?
Everything's
You have no idea. Little commitments become big commitments, bro. You're a fucking savage. A couple days in the pool, it's good for your mind. It cleans you out. You got something to talk about in the podcast. Yesterday, I ran out of air. I almost drowned. Trust me, it's fucking beautiful. Yeah. Swimming is the best.
I was talking to this person at work yesterday, and she said she used to swim, and she could do 60 full laps, like back and forth in a row without stopping.
Oh, it's
and
amazing.
I was like, holy shit, yeah. I can do one.
But listen, you got to start somewhere, and that's the most important thing of the church or what's happening now or Death Squad. We're taking you out of your fucking comfort zone.
Yeah.
Once a day, that's it. Something you would not do. You think I like going to jiu-jitsu yesterday with fucking people putting faces and feet all over me and people sweating? No, but you got to go into fucking out of your comfort zone to grow. Every once in a while, you want to grow. Why live on this fucking earth if you can't move forward, if you can't fucking grow every day? I'm not telling you got to be Jack Lane. By the Lord knows, I'm no fucking Jack Lane. But yesterday, I worked out. I walked around with my daughter for an hour and a half and a fucking... Who you email?
No one. What? You walked around with your daughter?
I'm watching you, cocksucker. You're sending fucking secrets to the Russians or the Cubans or something. Walked around with my daughter and you're burning shit. You're getting some sun. And that's all I've ever asked you. You think I come here and I break your balls, man? I'm not here to break your balls. I care about you.
Yeah, you're turning into Bo Jackson, dude. I saw that 30 for 30 yesterday where he played football and baseball. You're doing kickboxing, jiu-jitsu.
Everything. I'm fucking walking. I do the epileptical. I did a hemp four shake this morning from Onnit. I fuck, you know, it's the little things. I went to that Papa Do's last week, And I'll get anybody from Austin to email you. First thing you do when you go to Papa Do's is you ask for the fucking bread to dip your gumbo or your lobster bisque. I ate there, but I didn't eat any of the bread. You know what? You got to cut deals with yourself. It's a little fucking deal. You know what? Tonight I'll smoke 3 joints, but I'm not going to drink alcohol. Tomorrow night I'll drink 2 joints. Tomorrow night I'll drink 2 margaritas, but I won't smoke reef and I won't eat the... You know, we got to fucking... That's all I say to you. You just told me. You could have done a video. But I need those videos to be more alert. Those beginning videos, you look like... You wouldn't inspire me to juice. Hi, my name is Lee.
I'm not trying to inspire anybody.
Yes, you fucking are. You're letting people know that fucking Lee, boom, boom, Syat, the little Jew from fucking Boston, did it. And how did he do it? Because he's joining, he's getting a bunch of people and you're juicing. You used to sit there like you were Jesus in the hole.
Yeah, because I didn't eat for a week.
This is Lee. It's day 4. Cocksucker.
Let's see you do this podcast on a week without food.
But look, I that's not what I want to do. I never committed to that. Okay. If I committed to that, then I'd jump up and fucking down.
You wouldn't jump up and
down. I would come in here and go, this sucks dick. Or I would smile and go, you know, we're pushing ahead. We're making it happen here. I'm Lee Syat, the flying fucking Jew from Beirut. Look at those fucking videos. Hey, and you're shooting yourself from the side like a fucking Momo, like a Mortal
Kombat. It's the same like fucking angle as this.
But you got to shoot straight up. Why would you shoot from the fucking side? You're a film student. You should... you're looking like they tied you up and they made you fucking drink juice. I want you alert. You got to make these, you got to inspire these motherfuckers. You got to be like the national anthem. That's what the national anthem fucking does to you. You think that they play a national to fucking make you sit there like, Jesus, it's a shit day to be a fucking American. Fuck no. They play fucking bazookas and bulldogs and fucking bam, bam. Every time I hear the national anthem, I gotta hear fucking guns. So, somebody getting shot, like falling down. That's what you wanna fucking hear. That's what they should do at football game. I suppose, instead of these guys going to the fucking chair and wasting takes, fucking shoot them on the football. Bam, bam, as you're playing the fucking thing. Whitney Houston. Everybody's getting fucking down. What's some music, Lee? Hit me with some fucking music. I'm excited today.
I was trying to find the Star Spangled Banner again.
Well, fucking find it. Don't, you know, listen to this shit. This is what I'm saying to you. It's a beautiful fucking thing to be an American. But I haven't heard no fucking... What is this, Lee?
The Soundgarden.
What happened to the national anthem?
Okay, well, I...
No. Kick this. This is a jam here. Soundgarden. Second fucking album. Bad Motorfinger. One of my all-time favorites. You do a hit of acid, you put this fucking album on. See how far you get. Holy shit. By like the third song on the first album. I think it's, Rusty Cage, then it's this. It's a tremendous fucking side. But just listen to this. Listen to this. And his lyrics on this, people, fucking Chris Cornell. If he didn't lose his voice, it would have been fucking scary for you cocksucker. Listen to this shit. This is pulling your hair right now. You got some mushrooms in you, some reefer, a couple fucking bazookas. Listen to this. This hasn't stopped. There you go. Hit it, Lee. What are you, fucking nuts? If you got that number rolling, it's your fucking day today. Oh, shit. This is better than National Anthem. When you hear this shit, right now you're just stabbing a motherfucker. Hit it. Listen to this shit. This guy's going to war right here. You're on your fucking horse. You're going. You stare at me in your Jesus Christ pose. You don't want to be my slave. Are you fucking nuts, Lee? Here we go, Lee. Kick that. Like I need to be saved. Are you fucking kidding me, Lee? Are you fucking kidding me, Lee?
No.
This is the fucking backbone of stabbing somebody right there. I love it. So if you're in the mood to stab somebody, put the fucking iPhone on, iPod, whatever, put this song on and go out there. It's a beautiful song. Jesus fucking Christ pose, 1991 Soundgarden, Bad Fucking Motorfinger album. People always ask me, Joey, what's, you want a fucking album to work out, write comedy, get, put in your fucking car, cut off Asians like an Asian? You put this fucking, you put this Bad Motorfinger on. God damn, what else is on that album, Lee?
Let's find out.
What the fuck, Lee? You're sitting there like a Mama Luke Lee.
What, every time I type something, who you emailing?
You've been whacking off lately, Lee? You're getting pale in the face. You gotta stop whacking off.
You gotta, what do you mean, stop whacking off?
Juice, if you're gonna juice, you gotta stop with the Staminkin. You can't take the Staminkin juice out of your helmet.
When you stop, I'll stop.
I haven't been whacking
yeah,
off.
Yeah, right.
I swear to God, I don't whack off.
You're home for all those hours, you're not. Oh, yeah, I don't believe it.
First
of all,
if I'm gonna whack off, I'm not gonna whack off at home.
What do you mean you're not gonna whack off at home?
Because it's boring. You gotta put a tuxedo on and go somewhere and whack off at the park and
shit
while you're reading Shakespeare. I don't fucking know what you bother. Lee, I got 2.5 joints in me, plus the one I did at the house. Plus the 2 edibles from last night. You know, I ain't got time for this shit. Meanwhile, you're on the couch watching SportsCenter. Them talking about the fag fucking basketball player and how he's going to change basketball.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever his fucking name is.
Oh, my God.
Now they won't shut the fuck up about it.
Well, no, of course not.
Unfucking blame. What they all need is some hemp force to push that hemp out of their fucking assholes. What do we got, Lee?
Here we go. We got Rusty Cage, Outshined.
Oh, shit.
Slaves and Bulldozers.
God damn!
Jesus Christ pose.
This is what I'm talking about.
Face Pollution, Somewhere, Searching with My Good Eye Closed, Room with a Thousand Years Wide.
That's a classic. Searching
Mind
with
Riot.
My One Eye. I'm telling you, they ain't fucking around here.
Holy Water and
this
New
is
Damage.
When they were doing H. They were eating fucking rotten pussy down on Alki Beach. This is when Soundgarden was making it happen, dog.
Jesus.
They're up in Queen Anne, and it's so fucking funny. I'm such a pussy, Lee.
Why?
Because I didn't shoot heroin up in Queen Anne, man.
I don't think that makes you a pussy.
It's a pussy. That's a pussy move. Especially who, with the credentials I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? If a general shows up, he did heroin, he got VD, he ate some chick with chlamydia. You gotta have certain medals.
Who's the general?
The general. There's some dude. There's a fucking general. That's the fucking stars he deserves. The hero. Like, he did this. He saved a cat from a fire. You know, he did heroin with fucking Deep Purple. Whatever. You gotta have some fucking credentials. Can you imagine if I would have done like a line of heroin with Alice in Chains? I wouldn't even talk to you.
Exactly. I think you have all the credentials that you can have and still be alive.
I'd be backhanding you. Like, get out of my face. You know what I'm saying? I did heroin with fucking Alice in Chains.
Heroin's scary. I've seen videos and stuff, and like the way they nod out, that's too much.
That's a party.
What do you mean that's a party?
You do a little line of heroin, you put a little Black Sabbath on, forget about it. Next thing you wake up, you're right back where you started from, even better. Like, I'm telling you, you think I'm fucking kidding you? I used to do it all the time. I love a little line of heroin. I just never shot intravenously.
Jesus.
Like in my toenails or something like that. I wouldn't have fungi on my toenail.
This podcast does not support the views by Joey Diaz. You're telling people to go do heroin.
I didn't say nothing. I just said when I was, when I did it, I enjoyed it. This is how I liked it. You know, I went on the Warrior Poet podcast. They talk about mind hallucinating experiences.
Yeah.
And I wanted to fucking talk about some on this one. What's the problem here?
It's fucking heroin, dude.
That's
scary
a mind.
Shit.
Whatever. It's a whatever. But first of all, you can't even fucking get it in most places. So
what do you mean you can't get it?
It's not.
Everywhere?
You know how hard it is to get H unless you're in that circle?
I have no idea.
Nobody's ever come up to me and said, hey, bro, you want to buy some H's? It's so weird how society makes you think that these drugs are around the corner. You have to be in that loop. In all those years that I was doing blow, it's like people, I'd go to somebody's house and they'd go, hey, I got no blow. You want to do some heroin? No, because one is the other. They're each something different to each fucking person.
Yeah.
So blow people, heroin people, meth people. I would know where to go get blow right now. If you said to me, get me fucking 2 kilos of blow, I know exactly where to go and exactly what number to call. Not that I see him all the time, but I know that he would open a door for me.
Yeah.
Well, a few people open up a door for me. If you ask me about heroin, it'd take me a month.
I think you'd have a
If you ask me about ecstasy, it'd take me 2 fucking months. If you ask me about heroin, speed, I never bumped into meth people.
So drug dealers are like, maybe they have weed and coke, but they don't have it's not like they're a store. They don't have everything.
A lot of guys that I dealt with didn't. Like the good ones. I dealt with people in Vegas. There's a guy in Vegas that used to deliver right to my fucking room, and he'd give you half 8 balls, 8 balls, quarter ounces. If you bought a half eighth, he'd sell you a knockout package, which was like 2 Vicodins, a couple of Valiums. So he had downs and he had coke.
Okay.
But he never had like heroin and coke.
Jesus.
You know, he never had nothing like that. So I'm telling you the truth. Right now, it would take me, you know, an hour to get you a package, but it would take me 2 days to get you heroin.
That's crazy. I'm thank God I never
got unless my buddy Bonehead was alive.
Who's Bonehead?
Bonehead was the one that sent me the heroin out here in the mail.
I was going to say, yeah, your idea in one of the in the drugs testicle testaments, you said that you wanted to get off of coke by doing heroin like once a week.
I was doing it. I did it. I did that for a summer. That first summer that I met, remember I was just telling you Superbad. Whenever I look at Superbad and I think deep about Superbad, it makes me think, because Superbad was a cat that I really saved my life off the blow in a very avant-garde way. Last night I got up and I had to put ice on my knee.
Okay.
Two of those pill aspirins.
Strongbone? Okay.
No, two of those. It's really weird. Don't say Strongbone does that, because people always email me, I got a pain in my ankle. If I buy a Strongbone, would the pain go away? No, it won't.
Okay.
No, it won't. No, it won't. I don't want to promote that. I want to promote it for healthy. If you're working out before it gets to that pain, the strong bone will help you set everything up and give you the calcium and the fucking energy that you need. What was I talking about, cocksuck? You know
about the summer with Superbad.
Summer with Superbad. So those cats lived outside. Out of all the cats, they stayed out there the longest. By the time they were out there, they had different denominations. By the time that litter came, the previous litters had made little homes for them. Everything was in order. So those cats stayed out there a lot longer than they should have. You know what I'm saying? So they were born like in April.
Yeah.
And by fucking June, the four of them were out there rocking. And I remember I went to Nashville with my wife, and that's all I worried about in Nashville, those three, four little fucking cats. And when I got back, those four little kittens were still there. 4 days later with the mother, mama. And something happened, but I used to see those cats, and that was the summer I was doing heroin. I'll tell you what I was doing. I had learned the form. Whatever the fuck it is. It's like Kung Fu, but it's something different. It's not Tai Chi. It's the other one. And my buddy Jason Urbisi knew a couple of forms.
Okay.
In it. And I would do the forms in the morning. And I would play with the cats outside in the sun. I was 415 pounds. I wasn't smoking cigarettes then. And I would do these forms, 18 hands of whatever. It was just to get me rested. It's like a Tai Chi. It's a very slow
Kung Fu?
I learned it through him, through Kenpo.
Okay.
He taught it to me. It's a I forget what the fuck it is, Gung something. Doesn't really matter. Qigong.
Okay.
It was a Qigong form. It was 18 hands of peace, 18 hands of something. And I would do it every morning in the sunlight, because the backyard where we lived in Hollywood, the sun was fucking perfect. And it had this cocoon, Lee, that was the weirdest thing. It could be 100 degrees out in Hollywood. And it had this thing in the backyard, because what we basically had was two buildings connected, and there was a little thing in the middle where there was flowers, and people could sit out there.
Yeah.
Then to the left, this building was very cool in Hollywood. It was there so long that they made a barbecue pit. And you could just come down at night and barbecue steaks and sit outside.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And then the other side, there was a laundry room, which went with stairs downstairs. And in front of that, there was these trees. Lee, it could be 100 degrees out. But you would go into this foliage in your backyard. And it was like an air conditioning cocoon.
Okay.
It was very cool in there. It was amazing.
So you'd be doing these forums out there?
Out there with the cats busting my fucking balls.
Now, do a lot of people take in stray cats? I never had cats, but, like, it seems like I've never heard of people taking in stray cats.
Listen, man, there's an ass for every fucking seat. Sometimes you're driving down the street and just something, you see a cat, or sometimes you live in a neighborhood where there's a cat that just showed up one day and started scratching your fucking door. And you start feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, being a good Samaritan, and one day there's a possum in the neighborhood or a fucking raccoon, and you let the cat in, and now the cat becomes your animal.
Now, like, there's that one where, by where you live now, who's cool, I thought was going to be cool. Like, it was rubbing up against my legs.
Right.
But then, like, as I went to leave, it, like, swatted at my feet.
Right, that's the neighbor's cat. He's half retarded. He's a beautiful cat.
Yeah.
But he's half retarded.
But like,
he lures you and he attacks you.
Have you ever had one, like, you brought in and, like, you had to, like, let back out?
No.
No?
No. I've been very fortunate with my cats. It hasn't been like that lady's kid. That lady's really cool on the corner.
Yeah.
That's her cat.
Oh, okay.
And she's had him since he was a kid. But that cat, I seen him one day. I found him on the street. And I knocked on their door like 8 in the morning. Oh, your cat's outside. Because I know him. I forget what his fucking name is. Barbecue. I don't know what his fucking name is. The owner came out, the guy who lives in the house, and he picked him up, and he was asking me where I saw him. I go, he comes out through that back window. He pushes the screen in, and in the middle of that, the cat fucking scratched him. That it opened up right in front of me. Like, it was tripping right in front of him. Like, he had to go inside and fucking... That cat's crazy. That cat... One night I came home, and he was in front of my house. I thought it was gray.
Oh, okay.
And I started petting him.
Yeah.
And the motherfucker started parrot. Whatever, hissing.
Oh, like, going,
making that noise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this ain't my fucking gray. Fuck this bitch. And then he did something else to me. He got in between my legs one day.
Yeah.
And he laid down. He make believe he was cool. And then he turns into fucking Bela Lugosi. He's got claws and shit, so I almost punch him in the stomach. And now I don't fuck with that cocksucker at all. I see him on the corners and I walk the other way. I got good cats on my block, too. That's a sad thing. I got Biggie and his buddy BW. He's black and white, so they call him BW.
Yeah.
They're fucking huge. And another black shark, they call him Smokey. They all live in a house. They're a gay couple. Fucking really cool gay couple. And I think that the lady in the back works at the vet, and they have three cats in front of the house. Whenever I walk the baby in the carriage, I see him in front of there, and I come over, and fucking Biggie comes right over, and Smokey, who's been over there for 2 years, and he used to tell me to go fuck myself. Yesterday, he was 2 feet from me. In fact, when I picked up my wife yesterday, when we went out to dinner, I told my wife, I go, I had a great day. Smokey was two fucking feet from me.
That's good.
So I pet whatever and I have a good time.
Because the last time I asked you, you said she was a little bit too young still. Is Mercy like interacting with the cats at all?
Yeah, super bad.
Oh, really?
Super bad puts her head on her leg and she'll rub it and pull it and smack it. But she's been really cool with them.
That's funny.
There's like two or three cats that react to her, so.
That's hilarious. So you're going to Arizona tomorrow.
Well, you got me talking about cats on this fucking podcast.
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm all excited this morning. You slowed me up. I got emotional. I'm going to Arizona tomorrow with Ari Shaffir. This is a great little room. Stand up live. I did the Gabriel Iglesias TV show.
Oh, that's
there.
That was where the film.
It's okay. A fucking huge room. It's got 600 fucking seats. You know, if we sell 200-300, I'm fucking happy. You know, they'll be happy. It's a Thursday night gig. I'm going in and out of there. Then my nephew's coming to spend the week with me.
Oh, cool.
From Fresno. This is his last week of college. And it breaks my heart because he's a football player from my hometown, from North Bergen.
Okay.
I got the t-shirt on today, shirt, North Bergen High.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what this is. North Bergen alumni shirt. And it's, this kid isn't my nephew. He's somebody that I was raised in their homes. I wasn't even tight with his mother. I was really tight with his uncles.
Okay.
But brother type. Like, his uncle did a lot for me growing up. Like, he used to let me watch Letterman with him at night. He used to feed me. I'm real tight with his uncle. But he has an aunt. He comes from a family that's like the Brady Bunch. They have three boys and three girls.
Okay.
One of the girls had him. But his aunt was also, two of his aunts were also very fucking tight with me. And when I was growing up, you know, in life, people do things for you, then they hold it against you later on in life. They'll say, well, that motherfucker slept on my couch or whatever. These people never fucking said that. But the girl, Janine, is the one that should really be, because when I was in my deepest cocaine fucking haze, when I was eating out of garbage cans and living with two t-shirts,
yeah,
this was the winter of 84, when I was just a mess. You know, I write about it sometimes. I don't know what happened to me. But that December, I was a mess. And I would sleep till like 5 in the afternoon on somebody's floor, somebody's basement. I would just sleep till they got home from work.
Wow.
And I would get up and I'd wait till it got dark and I'd be hungry and I'd either go to Hashways with $2 that I'd get and they gave me like a special for $2. Or I'd go to Janine's house, Jennifer's house, and I would go around the back and she would bring me her father's clothes. And I would take a shower and I would put on my jeans, but with their t-shirt. And she'd get me like a spare hooded sweatshirt. And she'd feed me, give me like a sandwich. And she never told nobody. Now, there's people in life that maybe she was getting high at the time. Maybe she was a junkie. Janine's never touched a fucking drug. I don't even think she drinks.
Oh, really?
Today she's got two kids, a husband. And I told the younger sister, I go, whenever you see Janine, tell her. This is what she did for me. I go, none of you motherfuckers ever knew, did you? She goes, we'd have never heard those stories. I go, Janine wouldn't rat me out. I used to call her Wallflower. She never fucking ratted me out about those stories. I used to sleep on the downtown bed.
That's crazy. We'll finish this in a second.
What's happening, baby?
How you doing, dog?
I cannot believe you are fucking awake.
Of course. I'm not going to flake on you.
Did you go back to sleep, or did you take a little nap and wake up?
No, I woke up around 6 or something. And then right when you texted me, I was kind of like in a half a daze, and I just stayed up.
What time did you go to bed?
Am I on the podcast right now?
Yeah. We're just talking here. What the fuck?
Oh, okay. What was the question?
What time did you go to bed?
1 o'clock.
You're a bad motherfucker. Eddie Bravo on the line, ladies and gentlemen. My brother, my fucking master, the man of the hour. What's going on, little brother?
Man, just listening to your show.
How was
your heroin diaries?
Oh, no, we're just talking about an 80, after I met you, I got in really bad shape in 2007, and my friend was sending me heroin, and I would do it on Mondays, and I wouldn't do coke the whole fucking week, and by the end of the summer, I had an idea. I was going to contact 60 Minutes and go, I got it. If you do heroin, you won't do coke, and I came to my senses and fucking rest everything. You know how that goes, Eddie Bravo. How was class last night, Eddie?
Class was awesome, man. It was great. I had the 10 Planet Vista boys coming up from North San Diego. They make an hour and a half drive every Tuesday. I love Tuesday nights, though. So it was a good class. Every night's a good class.
And you do classes 4 nights a week downtown. This is your new location.
Yeah, downtown L.A. at the Tap Out Training Center. It's a beautiful place. I've been there for maybe 6 months now. I love it. I love everyone there. I love the management, the owner. It's awesome. And I teach Monday through Thursday nights at 8:30. So if you're worried about traffic, there's no traffic going up. So I got guys coming, like I said, from San Diego, from Simi Valley, from Antelope Valley, from Thousand Oaks. I got people coming from everywhere because it's right there, centrally located. Down, the guys from Costa Mesa come up every week. So wherever you're at, downtown L.A. is centrally located, and my class is, there's no traffic at 8:30. So and then when you get out of there, 10:30, there's even less traffic. So I love it. I'm coming from Sherman Oaks. I'm coming from deep in the valley, and I make that drive 6 times a week.
And what time do you leave your house, at 8 o'clock? That's when I usually call you, 8 o'clock, and check in with you because I know you're driving.
Eight o'clock, I'm on my way to class.
And what time do you make it there by?
8:25.
That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Now, Eddie, it's really funny. When we were coming up, when we all studied Bruce Lee and whatever, and it's so weird that he became friends with Steve McQueen. And people who got to meet Steve McQueen would tell you that, he would wipe his ass with fucking movie stardom. He would wipe his ass. He would give everything for him. He wanted to be Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee, who was this badass motherfucker, would give up everything to be Steve McQueen and get international stardom. And it's so weird that I think the same with you sometimes, that I would give up everything to be as good as in jiu-jitsu as you are without training. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I watch your videos. I watch you, Marcelo. I watch the Renner boys, the Gracie, but you're a fucking star. And I was telling somebody about this, and we were talking about your predecessor, the guy who you learned from, which is John Jock Machado. And they said he's a great teacher. But the person also said, but Eddie Bravo is a better fucking teacher. And I, what did you take from John Jock, Eddie, that makes you such a great teacher?
Well, first of all, Jean-Jacques is a legend. I don't think I'm a better teacher than him. I've learned so much from him. I can't even tell you. It would take me 2 hours to explain all the stuff I learned from him. He's awesome. And the greatest thing about Jean-Jacques is it was kind of obvious early on that I was taking an unorthodox path in jiu-jitsu, because it was the UFC that got me into jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu didn't get me into the UFC, so I was a UFC fanatic. When I first saw UFC 2, I was obsessed with the UFC. And jiu-jitsu was a way for me to be involved. It's like, wow, I don't want to be in a cage and fight. But jiu-jitsu is sort of like UFC, so it was a way for me to participate. It was awesome because I grew up a big football fan, and I love playing street football and flag football and shit like that. But anyways, so when I real quick as a white belt and a blue belt, I saw that the gi was a problem in the UFC. I saw that in the beginning, Hoist, you know, no one knew how to fight on the ground, so bad gi habits really didn't come into play. But after a while, when people learned to defend jiu-jitsu and everyone started training jiu-jitsu, the gi became a big problem. So right away, as a white belt, blue belt, purple belt, I started to question the gi and its purpose in MMA. So, but Jean-Jacques never discouraged me analyzing the gi and breaking down the state of jiu-jitsu and all that kind of stuff. He never, ever, ever steered me away from my path. He just guided me along, and very few instructors on the planet would ever do that. Most instructors want everyone to learn exactly what they're doing and think like them. But not Jean-Jacques, and I'm not just saying that. He never, ever questioned that. And I had the president of Brazilian jiu-jitsu call him up to calm me down about being vocal, about being, you know, I thought the gi was the problem in MMA. The gi was a big problem in the UFC. And when I opened up my first school, I didn't teach the gi for jiu-jitsu. I wanted to bring jiu-jitsu back in the UFC. So I thought, I'm going to do my part and teach without the gi and make my gi as MMA ready as possible. And Jean-Jacques, he never ever sat me down and said, listen, you can't say this, or listen, you can't say that, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. He never did any of that. He just sat there and just watched me. Like, it was like I was his experiment this whole time. You know, it was almost like that. And he had a big influence on the rubber guard as well. As I was putting it together, putting the pieces together, he was there to say, hey, try this or try that, even though he wasn't even flexible, and he really couldn't play rubber guard because his knees are just not, he's just not flexible enough, and he had very sensitive knees, he had knee surgery and stuff. But he was very instrumental in helping me put it all together. And, you know, and he is the first no-gi god in Abu Dhabi. You know, back when Abu Dhabi first busted out, it was a no-gi tournament. It was in the Middle East, and it was all the best grapplers in the world that they got together. They had all the best gi champions, all these legends, and all the legendary wrestlers and UFC wrestlers. And what you had was a bunch of boring matches of jiu-jitsu guys who didn't know how to set sweeps and submissions up without the gi very well. And you had wrestlers who didn't need handles, collars, and chokes. They were the best at controlling bodies without clothes. Oh, not without clothes, without handles, without keys. But they didn't know how to pass the guard. They didn't know how to submit. So you had a bunch of stalemates. Most of the matches were really boring. Early Abu Dhabi, very boring. Gi guys just did not know how to move no gi in a technical way without punches. And then the wrestlers, they didn't know how to pass the guard or finish, but they can control the shit out of you and stall you out. And that's what happened. Match after match was boring, but then Jean-Jacques shows up, his first UFC, or his first Abu Dhabi, which is ADCC, and he submits everybody. He submitted everybody and took the gold. All of a sudden, a star is born. He basically saved Abu Dhabi. It looked like garbage until Jean-Jacques showed up. And the reason he showed up in...
What year was that, Eddie?
That was 98, I think.
Hey, Eddie, it's Lee. Exactly. When did you start jiu-jitsu? I thought you had been doing jiu-jitsu for, like, forever. It sounds like it's new.
I started jiu-jitsu, well, I mean, I don't know. It's 19 years ago new. I started it in 94.
Okay. So you're doing music and other stuff before then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was producing music on, you know, on boxes and shit when I was 10. I was making music my whole childhood. All through my teens, I was playing drums in speed metal bands, big metal head into the German thrash scene. All through my teenage years, I was writing satanic lyrics, and then moved to Hollywood, made the big move in 91. When I was 21, I thought I was going to get serious, moved to Hollywood from Orange County, to really get serious about music. And I wanted to stay in shape, so I wouldn't be a fat rock star. I was really concerned about that. I looked at Yngwie Malmsteen, he got fat, and all these guys were looking like shit. I don't want to be that guy, you know. And I got into martial arts. I was a big Bruce Lee fan. Got into, I couldn't find anything Bruce Lee around where I worked, so I joined a karate gym. I was doing karate for about a year because it was right next to my work. And then that's when I saw UFC 2. And after I saw UFC 2, quit karate and started to look for some jiu-jitsu. And at the same time, I found jiu-jitsu. When I found jiu-jitsu, it was just too damn expensive. I actually found jiu-jitsu, and it was too expensive. So then the next choice was Jeet Kune Do, and I wanted to do something Bruce Lee. So I joined the Cass Magda Institute in the Valley off Reseda. I did that for a little bit, and then I got some better shifts at the strip club, made some more money. Then I went back to jiu-jitsu and started training jiu-jitsu. I did jiu-jitsu and Jeet Kune Do for 2.5 years together, and then I finally quit Jeet Kune Do all together and just did jiu-jitsu full-time. Because I'd been training one day a week jiu-jitsu in the beginning, because that's all I could afford, $80 a week. And then Tuesday, I would do that on Friday, and Tuesday and Thursday, I would do Jeet Kune Do. I'm saying Jeet Kune Do just so I can keep it simple. It was Jeet Kune Do and other stuff, too. It was a lot of Filipino martial arts, Kali, Eskrima, and a Silat. It was basically the Danny Inosato system, which included some Bruce Lee stuff. He was Bruce Lee's best friend back in the day. He was in Game of Death. He was a little Asian guy that he fought with the nunchucks. But anyways, I was doing jiu-jitsu Fridays, Tuesdays and Thursdays I was doing Jeet Kune Do. And what ended up happening is I'd be training for like a year and a half like this. And there was guys that just started training, but they were doing jiu-jitsu 5 days a week. So I was doing once a week. So within like 2 or 3 months, they would catch me, and it would be really embarrassing. Like a dude that had been training 3 months would tap me, only because they were training 5, 6 days a week, and they just caught up to me really quick, and it became embarrassing. So I had to make that choice to quit Jeet Kune Do. And it wasn't even nearly as fun as jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu was so much fun. I would never miss my Fridays. I could have 1 hour of sleep, totally hungover, feel like shit, but you weren't taking jiu-jitsu away. I would drag my ass to the gym, and I'd sleep afterwards. You're not going to take that Friday away from me. There was nothing that was going to take that Friday away from me. But when it came to Jeet Kune Do, man, I could have a little, I could be driving to class, and yeah, if I just cough once, I go, you know what? I shouldn't be training. Make a U-turn, go back home. I was looking for reasons to not go to Jeet Kune Do. Just like punching the air and punching the bag. There wasn't real sparring or anything. It's not that fun. But jiu-jitsu, you spar 100% from day one. And back then you did, at least. And it was just so much fun. I couldn't wait to, I would be hysterical trying to, I would run red lights. And when I would get there to class, I would always be running a little bit late because I drove a long way. It was so much traffic, and I had work. So I'd always get there like 20 minutes late. And while class is on, I'm in the dressing room going nuts, changing, like hysterical. Like, I couldn't change fast enough. And I had real long hair back at the time. My hair went down to my waist. So it took me forever to tie that motherfucker up in the ponytail and then wrap it up and put a bandana on top and then, oh, man, and then I was hysterical. I had to quit Jeet Kune Do and do jiu-jitsu 4 days a week. And from that point on, it just became an obsession. A great way to stay in shape.
And once you quit Jeet Kune Do, you started going to jiu-jitsu 5 nights a week?
4 nights, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
And that was John Jock in the beginning for you?
Well, in the beginning, yeah, it was John Jock from the very beginning. It was the very beginning.
Wow, that's amazing. And you got your black belt from John Jock recently, or how long ago? After Abu Dhabi?
It was right after I competed in Abu Dhabi in 2003, so it's been 10 years.
God damn.
10 years.
So it took you 10 years to get your jiu-jitsu black belt.
It took me 10 years, and immediately I opened up 10th Planet. We're actually having our 10-year anniversary, 10th Planet 10-year anniversary.
May 31st.
May 31st, it's Friday. Everyone's welcome. It's at Bardo on Vine, about a block north of Hollywood Boulevard. It's called Bardo. Friday, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. We're going to have a promotion ceremony. We're going to have all the moons, all my schools from Southern California there giving out promotions. And you're even going to go up there and do a little set. Right?
Absolutely, abso-fucking-lutely. I'm going to come down.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
Oh, please. This is your family, Eddie. Out of all the people I run with in L.A., I mean, the other day, Lee with Flying Jew over here was saying that he talks to his father every day, he talks to me every day. And I talk to Eddie every day. At one point of the day, I call Eddie, I check in, see what's happening. I yell at him about something. He sits there.
Yeah.
I tell him about the fuck.
Yeah.
A 10th Planet Hartford is doing this shit. You know, because I watch your schools. I love what you do, you know. It's like a fucking passion of mine to watch what you do and the whole thing. And I giggle. I go on your webpage. I make sure everything's in tune. And I can't yell at you no more, so I just don't. But I love everything that you do. You know what I'm saying? Another thing that we have in common that's, you know, you talk to people, Eddie Bravo, and they bullshit you. Everybody wants to sound, you know, especially in this area, everything's fucking amazing. If I hear one more person tell me fucking amazing, I'm going to stab them. I'm going to fucking light their eyeball with this joint. But we're fathers, Eddie. And we hung out 8 years ago and we weren't fathers, and we know how crazy we are. And now we're fathers, and we talk to each other like we're fathers. When we talk to each other now, there's no more craziness. It's what is your boy doing, is what is my daughter doing. What's Mercy doing, what's Dee doing, and that's it.
Yeah.
We used to talk about the Indians showing up and how you embarrassed Joe and took his car in Germany, and we talk about all this craziness. We talk about, you know, the night when you brought the black chicks into the VIP area and you left them there with me and Joe and Joe Nolan. That's the day he decided to shave his head, was that night when you let us. It was all over. He was steaming. And we called each other the next morning and we fucking howl. And now we don't even howl no more. We're like, what's going on over there? I'm over here babysitting. Boy, he just took a big shit, and I'm over here watching her turn, you know, and it's just fucking hysterical how life changes now. You know, we were always talking about what you did. I was in Austin last week, and I was like, man, is there a Fogo de Chão in Austin? I was just thinking in the drive in, I felt like eating meat, and I'm like, yeah. And I went to that Fogo de Chão with Eddie. And I was thinking about that night we started drinking at the Fogo de Chão, and that's the night you went into the hotel room, and it wasn't your hotel room, and they chased you, and you fell and hurt your knees.
Yeah, oh my God.
Can you fucking believe? This is the shit I think about on the road when I'm sitting there in a cab driving. I'm like, when was the last time I was in Austin? Let me think. It was me, you, Alex Jones, Aubrey, right? Yeah. It was a bunch of us.
Yeah.
And we went, and your fucking Indian started early. And we went and did a show,
man.
And then I lost you.
That was one of the craziest weekends of all time. We hung out with Alex Jones. We did his show. That's one of the Indian episodes, man. The Indian came out big in Austin, where I ended up. They threw me in a cab. They sent me to the wrong hotel. I'm standing in line at the wrong hotel, and that's when I woke up. I don't remember the cab ride there. I just woke up looking at this hotel clerk just standing right in front of her, and I woke up right there going, where am I? I was in the wrong hotel. They were going to call the cops on me.
And then
they go, I don't know what I said, but it was a black chick. She goes, I'm going to call the cops right now. And that woke me up. When the cops, you know, those code words, it's like when you're under hypnosis and they say a word and you wake up, the cops, that woke me up. I looked around and I thought, oh my God, where am I? And I slowly just walked out like nothing. I just walked out, and as soon as I walked out, I thought maybe she already called the cops. I started running full clip, and I'm slow as fuck, but I was running as fast as I could, turned the corner. I had boots on that had no traction, and I slipped and fucking scraped my knee up, and I woke up the next morning, and I'm in my hotel. I don't even know how I got there. My knee's all bloody. And I'm laying there. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I got my clothes on still. My pants are ripped. Like, how the fuck did I get home? I had no idea.
And then you're telling me and Joe this story. And I got Joe for an hour on the plane. I thought, Joey, he's blacking out. What's next? He's blacking out. Joe, who gives a fuck? He's having a good time. He's having a good time. That's all that matters. Who gives a fuck if he blacks out? He's having a good time. I blacked out 1,000 times. I had a great time. You probably told that black dude you were going to tickle her asshole with an Indian feather. And she's like, fuck you. I'm calling the police, you Indian motherfucker. But it's just so weird that we talk now and it's... what is that?
that was my... When I rolled down my window in my car, I'm sitting in my car, the cops pulled me over and made me pull off my window tint on the side, so the inside of my window is all sticky. And when I... It's so embarrassing when I pull up to the gym and I got to roll down the window to get that parking ticket. And if anybody's walking around, it just sounds like a pterodactyl just got shot out of the fucking sky. Want to hear it? Here it goes. Hold on.
I didn't know what that fucking was. I think you had a chicken in the truck. So you're out in the fucking car talking to me.
Yeah, I don't get reception in my house too good. So
oh, okay. I thought you were in the car.
Important calls I got to make. I got to drive down the street. Fuck AT&T. Fuck you.
Hey, listen, man. This fucking Sprint phone I got. I got the new iPhone. Sprint kept sending me emails. You're a value customer. You're a value customer. And then I seen Red Band tape Joe one night on stage, and I saw what the camera does. It's fucking amazing. So I went to Laurel Canyon there. They have the old Sprint phone was on Coldwater, and they closed it down. And they got to Laurel Canyon. I went over there. I got my phone. Eddie, I've had this phone 2 months. Somebody told me the iPhones are great. Just don't drop them. They're like, the iPhone's the best thing in the fucking world. Just don't drop it. That's when it starts fucking up. Do you know that for the first time in 10 years, I'm with Sprint. I can fucking call you from under the pool. Do you know what I'm saying? My phone rings in the fucking air. Eddie, it's been fucking up lately. My fucking Sprint has been fucking up lately. I'm kind of upset now.
How's it fucking up?
It's dropping calls. People that I used to talk to all the time. The fucking phone is dropping during conversations. I think this fucking Obama shit.
Get used to that. Yeah, you get used to that shit.
Yeah, but this is Sprint. This ain't AT&T. With AT&T, it's an occupational hazard. It's like being black and getting arrested because you're standing out in the corner all fucking night. You're black and you're on a fucking corner. You're going to get arrested. It's AT&T. Why people keep buying AT&T is beyond fucking me. I've been on Sprint. You know how many times I talked? I know if somebody's on AT&T when I talk to them, Eddie. When I talk to somebody on the phone, I can tell whether they're on AT&T. That's how bad it sounds. Well, that's the secondary thing. That's like 3 fucking minutes in. But who gives a fuck about AT&T? I got the master Eddie Bravo on the fucking phone. What's next for 10th Planet, brother? Talk to me here.
Like I said, the 10th Planet anniversary party, that's immediate. Then,
You got headquarters everywhere now. You got headquarters in Germany, fucking Connecticut. You know, you're like dog shit.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
You know what? I'm going to Australia. I'm going to be at 10th Planet Melbourne May 25th and at KMS in Sydney with Fari. He's a great guy. He's hosting that seminar. He hosted my seminar about 8 months ago, and I was also at 10th Planet Melbourne. So May 25th, May 26th, get on the Nibiru Forum and get some more info on that. And then I'm going to be in Mexico City June 22nd, I think. 10th Planet Mexico City. Also June 15th, Danny Pacopos, first 10th Planet black belt. He's going against Justin Rader in a super fight at the Midwest Submission Challenge. That's in St. Louis. So June 15th, there's a submission-only tournament. Everyone's welcome. It's a tournament like Naga or Grappler's Quest, except it's submission-only. And the super fight of that event, like I said, Danny Pacopos, my first black belt against Justin Rader. That's a 20-minute match. No points, no advantages, submission-only. So watch out for that, kid.
Now, what's going on with that new league you were working on, the punches, and then when you get to the floor, there's no punches?
Yeah, Combat Jiu-Jitsu is happening May 19th at the Club Nokia. It's on the University of MMA show. That's an amateur show. They have the best amateur show in California, University of MMA. We have two Combat Jiu-Jitsu matches happening on that card. And Combat Jiu-Jitsu is, you could look at it as super tame MMA, because there's only strikes on the ground. Standing, it's just wrestling. or you could look at it as extreme jiu-jitsu. Because to jiu-jitsu guys, it seems extreme because you could punch in the, you know, right in the face, punch the head when you're on the ground. As soon as one guy's on the ground, you can start punching. Standing, it's just wrestling. So look at, you know, like I said, it's tame MMA, super safe MMA, or extreme jiu-jitsu. You know, it's for guys that are on their way, the grapplers that want to do MMA, but they want to take some baby steps, and this is the perfect sport, the perfect arena to make sure you want to get in the cage, you know. Try it first with strikes on the ground, then later try it with strike standing. Because strike standing, if you get in there too soon, man, you could take a shin right to the head, and that could just change your shit altogether. So all you grapplers out there, if you're looking to do MMA, I suggest you get into combat jiu-jitsu. It's coming.
Jesus fucking Christ. Eddie.
Yes.
Oh, I thought something happened.
Okay.
Eddie,
you...
No, I got to ask you one more question. That's, I forgot what the fuck it was. Then you dropped the goddamn phone. I know what I had to tell you. Eddie, you know, whenever I travel, I got to be honest with you. Whenever I travel, you know, people come up to me and they go, great that you came to town. And then I get the people that say, where's the Flying Jew? But I always get one 10th Planet t-shirt at all my comedy shows. And I always get one or two guys that come up to me at the end of the night and they ask me how you are. Are you very serious? You know, they always want to know about Eddie, and it fucks with my head. Because
why does it fuck with your head?
Because they all take something from you from different avenues. You know, like this guy came in and he said the book was the best thing that ever happened to him. About 3 months, a guy came in and he had taken all the pictures from the DVD I did with you, my stomach hanging, and he made me sign all of them. And he said that his jiu-jitsu game was fucking shitty until he watched your DVD. And he learned so much from your DVD at home that he wasn't able to go to his little school and put beatings on people, you know? And that's really weird that people take something from you on every level. People see me on stage or they hear me. With you, they read about your technique. And I've read your book. I've looked at it. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I get all fucking confused. I know the chapters, that other things you have in there about your life and whatnot. But these guys all take something from you, and that's pretty fucking remarkable. These are the things I don't say to you, you know. So you're doing God's work, man, with your little fucking DVDs and your books and your Noburi Forum, you know. There's a lot of people that don't have 10th Planet. There's a lot of people that have green belts, blue belts teaching at the... They're learning from a blue belt at a YMCA in Tennessee. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap my brain around it sometimes. I actually have to remind myself how crazy it is, and every day I'm reminding myself how lucky I am, and I try to get into that appreciation zone where you think about it enough, and you just, it's like meditation. You just you can't overlook how lucky you are. All of us, we're all lucky. We're all superstars, you know. Compared to people that live in Liberia. Or in fucking Guatemala, you know, we're all rock stars. We are. That's the reality. And you gotta remind yourself of how lucky you are every goddamn day, man. And it's crazy how our audiences they cross over all the time. I mean, you know, throughout the 10th Planet, the history of 10th Planet, you've been right there, man. Everyone knows that me and you are. Our boys, you know, everyone knows you've been in my DVD. So many of those 10th Planet cushions that we did, and you know, your comedy and 10th Planet Jiu Jitsu are intertwined forever, man. Every show you go to, there's going to be some 10th Planet people there for sure.
All the fucking shows.
And every seminar that I do, there's Joey Karate fans, there's Joey Coco Diaz fans. Every seminar. Everybody knows you at my seminars. Everybody. They're all fans of yours. So, you know, obviously you got way more fans than I do, but there's always going to be a couple 10th Planet fans at your shows no matter what, always.
Oh, but I know how they come up to me and how they're like, you know, you walk in presence, Joe Diaz. You know, Eddie Bravo. It says it on this page in the book or this video. It's just great to see what you've done, man. And I'm proud of you, and it's really... great to call you my little brother. You're a fucking savage.
Yeah, man, I appreciate every day now, you call, man. I'm like, go ahead.
Now, are tickets on sale for this on May 31st? What are we doing, Eddie?
No, you just show up.
Just show up.
We're going to have guys from 10 Planet Burbank, 10 Planet Van Nuys, 10 Planet Vista, 10 Planet Riverside, 10 Planet Corona. The Phoenix boys are going to show up.
I'll see them tomorrow night, John Montello and the boys. I'll see them at my show tomorrow night.
Yes. Yeah, John Boteo, he's head instructor at 10 Planet Phoenix. He'll be at your show.
Yep, he'll be at the show tomorrow night. So, see, this is what I'm talking about. They emailed me last week already and said 10 Planet was in the house. They're bringing bazookas, weapons, shin guards, mouthpieces. They're bringing everything with them.
Yeah, my people love you, man. They love everything about. Everyone misses them 10 Planet cushions. You know, maybe one day we'll do one more just for old time's sakes. I love doing those 10 Planet cushions, man. Your reviews of the UFC, no one even comes close. You got all these new UFC shows popping up on Fuel, all this shit. Like, I can't believe they overlooked and haven't noticed what you've been doing with them UFC reviews. If there was a show, if there was a 10 Planet cushion on Fuel TV, oh man, that would be the highest rated UFC review show ever. You'd break all records.
Well, look at what's going on now.
I can't believe Dana hasn't seen that yet.
Hey, I love Dana White more than anybody. Dana White thinks Chael Sonnen is the new White Hope. You know who the new White Hope is? Fucking Roy. Roy, fucking with his little stomach, whatever his name is. Roy Nelson is the next. Nobody fucking knows what they have, Doug. For years, yeah. He kept thinking it was Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen's going to bring white people back. You know who it's going to. Roy Nelson's bringing white people back, and real white people. White fat people that have been in the corner eating cheese all their fucking lives. That's who he's bringing out. So you never know, dog. You never know who the fuck, you know. Hopefully I'll be on Fuel someday. Tell him these motherfuckers, call him Doom Come Kim. I love you, Eddie Bravo. Thank you for calling. I know it's early for you. Hopefully I'll see you today
or
tomorrow.
Thank you for having me, man. Hey, also I wanted to let people know that I just started my own web podcast as well. It's called Eddie Bravo Radio. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. If you got 3 hours, you know, each episode's about 3 hours. So if you need time to kill, you got a long drive to work, or you're at work and you can listen to the headphones, it's a great time killer. Eddie Bravo Radio. Thank you very much.
Love you, buddy. Give the wife and the kid a kiss.
Thank you.
Stay black. He's a great fucking guy.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have him around, man. He is. Hey, fucking Ali. Roy Nelson's the great White Hope. I love him to death. That's it. Anybody can show up with a fucking six-pack and save you. Let me see a fat guy walk up with a fucking beard and knock motherfuckers out.
Oh, shit.
So, before the break, we're talking about how this girl Janine had taken care of me all these... Well, it wasn't a year or so. We were just friends. I was friends with her family, but I would go to her house and she'd fucking bring me sandwiches in the backyard and I'd eat and she wouldn't rat me out.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple of years later, the older sister has a kid. She had two boys. One's Vincent and one's Nicholas. And I was driving once. I was driving my friend's fish truck.
Yeah.
It smelled like ass. And I saw them walking in the snow. And I pulled over. Nicholas was two. And Vincent was like maybe four. And she was walking with a bag. And her car got stuck. And they had to walk home. And I gave them a ride home. And I became tight with her. I would stay with the brother. Whenever I would go to Jersey and do my comedy shows,
mm-hmm.
The brother lived on the 34th floor of a building, and I would sleep on his balcony.
Jesus.
You know, he would let me sleep on the balcony at night. So this family is tight with me. This kid graduated high school a year ago and got a full-fledged scholarship for football to Arkansas.
Oh, cool.
But his grades, something happened with his grades. They didn't do the paperwork in time, the grades, so they made him come out and transfer to a college, a small, whatever, junior college.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to play football for the college, but the coach left to a bigger college. So now he has to transfer to either Riverside or a school in Brooklyn who's got a great UGO team. So it's really weird that when I first came to Colorado, I was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I was fucking alone in Boulder. And Snowmass Village was, at that time when I first moved to Colorado, it was a town called Basalt, Colorado. It's underneath, and I lived in a place called Holland Hills, Colorado. It was a resort, like on the right-hand side as you're going to Glenwood Springs.
Okay.
And we lived in there. One of the guys that lived with us, And one of our roommates had a sister and a brother-in-law from California. And she would always come over to bring her brother food and would always say, you know, if you guys, you're always welcome at my house. And the guys would always go, yeah. And one day she came over to bring him food and she goes, Coco, if you want, my husband will really get a kick out of you. He's from Virginia. And I went over there and I became friends with the uncle and, with the husband. It was funny that every Friday after work, she would pick me up, take me to a house. I'd take a shower.
Yeah.
She would pick me up. We'd smoke pot. I was 19 or 20, and she was probably 32 or 33 or 35. They didn't have any kids. And I'd smoke pot with her, and then she'd pick me up, and she'd take me over, and they lived in a trailer. And then he'd smoke cigars, and we'd watch men movies, Rambo, any Charles Bronson. And here I was alone. In this city, I didn't know anybody, and they made me feel at home, you know, and they would cook for me. And I didn't know when this dick was going to come out. I thought they were going to tie me up and make me suck a pussy or something. But they were just nice, fucking good Americans. They were good fucking white people. She was from California. She was a hippie chick with freckles, really cute.
Yeah.
And he was a bus driver from Virginia that had been in the service, and now he was a bus mechanic. He was very good with the... So one night we're watching Scarface, and we're talking about guns, and I go, look at that fucking gun, it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. At that time, I knew guns, and he goes, you like guns? And we closed the fucking door, and he pulled this couch over, and he picked up the fucking metal thing that he had, and in that thing, this motherfucker had machine guns, bazookas, explosives, bombs, grenades.
Jesus.
He was like an ex-fucking paramilitary fucking nut, and these are the people you meet in Colorado. The short story, they were friends of mine until I moved, and I would meet them on the weekends. And I was 18, I was confused, I was lost. I was 19, I was confused, I was lost. But I knew one thing, I was angry.
Yeah.
You know, I was really fucking angry. And at the time, I thought I wanted to be a hitman. So on Friday nights, I'd go to his house. We'd wake up early Saturday. We'd go to a bullet place. And he'd teach me how to shoot, roll, make little bombs. He taught me a lot of shit, though.
Jesus Christ, I didn't
and
know that.
Every fucking week. And our big plan was to rob the bank in Aspen Christmas Day on snowmobiles. We're going to get two guys from Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, he taught me about electronics. He taught me about alarm systems. He just taught me. But it wasn't about him teaching me to be a fucking savage. It wasn't about her cooking. It wasn't about her doing any of this stuff. It wasn't about these people and my relationship. It's what they had done for me. I was alone in fucking Colorado. And they made me feel, you know? They made me feel. So he's been out here in Fresno for 2 or 3 months. We talk on the phone every day, me and my nephew.
Every
day I yell at him, yeah, because I can tell he's a fucking, you know, Coco. I'm fucking bored out here. What the fuck? These people. And I gotta say, hey, listen, you ain't here for a fucking social life, a cocksucker. You're here to hit the fucking books. You know, so last night he called me and I'm like, what's this fucking noise? And he goes, I'm in a Starbucks because the Wi-Fi in our dorm don't work and I gotta do this last paper of the year. So I beat the kid up a little bit. You know, he grew up without a dad, him and the mother. The dad broke up young, so he's been raised by the grandfather. And the kid, you know, I got to push him a little bit, but I always think about what Fred and Joy did for me. I was alone, man. I was fucking alone. And I hated going out to bars.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do blow. And these people didn't do blow. They didn't drink. They smoked dope. He smoked cigars and they ate. She would make a big fucking thing of lasagna or, you know, like a big chocolate cake for me. And you can't forgive that. You can't forget that.
No.
So what I want to do for my nephew this weekend, he's going to come in on Friday. He's taking the train to Burbank. So Friday night, we're going to go work out, you know. He doesn't get high. He doesn't eat edibles, nothing, you know. I got to go tell him a story. I got to tell him a few stories because some shit happened with his family that he doesn't know about. I don't really think he knows what his family did for me growing up.
Yeah.
He doesn't really understand. And his uncle is my main. His uncle went to the Longest Yard premiere with me. His uncle's one of those guys that... always believed in me. No matter what was going on, his uncle always said, fuck you motherfuckers. This is Coco. He's going to fuck it up. Or he, you know, so it's a chance for me to give back, you know. So he's going to come over Friday, Saturday. I'm taking him to the Ha Ha and to Universal City to do a spot.
And cool.
We're going to go get the hot dog man.
Oh, shit.
So you're more than invited. And then Sunday, he's taking the train back. And then Monday, he's going back to New York. Because he's going to... It's it. He's done with school.
Okay.
But at least I get to see him. I feel bad that he couldn't come over a lot more, you know, the 2 months he was here. But I was always on the road and stuff. Plus, it's a 3-hour drive the way he is. So...
Why is this getting you so emotional?
Because I get a chance to get back. I get a chance to do for somebody what society did for me without asking for it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for those people to be nice to me.
Yeah. You know?
They had no reason to be nice to me. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't Mr. fucking All-American. But these people didn't give a fuck. Obviously, I filled a void in their heart, and obviously they filled a void in my fucking heart. So you learn. You learn about life. These are the things that you don't know about when you're 24. You don't know why they're happening. You don't know why they're happening. You're like, why is this guy being nice to me? Why is this guy opening up his home to me? You know, are they going to fuck me in the ass? Am I going to wake up with a roofie with naked pictures licking the dog's balls? So, and when, you know, like I tell people, in my life, a lot of bad shit could have happened, and it didn't. You know, am I lucky? Am I better than somebody else? No, I just, you know, God deals cards at you. What you do with those cards is up to fucking you. It's a beautiful motherfucking Wednesday to be alive. We had Eddie Bravo on the podcast. I came and woke this fucking cocksucker up. Let me give some shout outs to some beautiful motherfuckers here. Manuel Gomez, I love you. Death Squad everywhere, you bad motherfuckers from Harlem. The Death Squad, Michigan, Grand Rapids. I see what you motherfuckers are doing. Andy Hirsch, you're a bad motherfucker. Danielle Cannulli. Kristen is a new listener. I love you. Spitshine Tommy, thank you for following Bobby Slayton. Tony LaQuasto, Chris Morgan, you motherfuckers make this podcast by listening. What do you got planned for the weekend, cocklicker?
This weekend, I got a buddy's birthday, and that's it.
What are you doing? You're going to eat some pussy this weekend? Finally, a chick dumped fucking Magumba. So now you got a chance. Now you got no more fucking stories. You understand? What happened with Rose? She's gone?
No, she's still there.
You still talk to Rose?
Yeah.
You still send the naked pictures of yourself?
No, no naked pictures, you piece of shit.
You fucking cocksucker with your little Sinbad the Sailor anti-Jew beard. So hopefully, give me an ETA on you and this broad. When are you going to be eating her pussy?
I don't know.
By the end of the month, do we think we're going to tear this shit up? This chick got a banging body, people. Banging! This chick is cute, 22. Her skin is still soft. Her toes don't smell. Her asshole, it doesn't even have the brown around the rim. It's still fucking fresh. Like with the wrapper, it still smells like skin.
Jesus Christ. I don't know, man. It's a tough thing. It's I'm a shy guy, and it's a...
Shy? She used to live on your couch.
Yeah.
All you had to do was fly in there with a cape on. With your little Jew dick
that
out.
That doesn't work for everybody. Like I would pass out if I tried to... Like, he would come over and be like... You're over your dick on her face yet? And I'm just like, I'm not gonna like.
When is this last day of the fucking juice?
End of May, May 31st.
So when are we eating an edible together for the people? Oh, you're gonna eat an edible for the live podcast May 29th. So I don't want to hear no stories. So forget that shit. Let me tell you what's cracking. You got Stand Up Live tomorrow, Thursday, May 9th. Then we got Governors in Long Island, the 17th and the 18th. Then we got Testicle Testaments 5 is coming out May 28th, bitches, on iTunes. Pre-order now, $1.99. Word on the street is this is a fucking good one. Then we're going to put all 5 of them together, and we're going to take this on the fucking road. Me and Lee Syed is the road manager. You better not fucking slip, because I'll fire you and I'll fucking replace you with a fucking white person.
Good.
And then I got fucking live podcasts at the Ice House May 29th. $10 to get in. I'm going to give you 2 great guests. I already got lined up. I ain't telling you dick. Tickets are available 626-577-1894. I don't know what to tell you, motherfuckers. It was a great week. And I hope you guys got something out of this week. I know we're doing fucking great things together on the podcast. We're going to have Men's Shave Club. I just told Ting to suck my dick. They don't want to pay nobody. These motherfuckers want to spread Ting. Fuck you. Ting my cock. Cock sucker. What's up with you? What else is going on? So nothing. I want to report on Monday about you and this bro, where we're at. By this weekend, you should at least be fingering it. I don't want no fucking stories, cocksucker. Enough is enough. You're juicing, doing all this shit for what? For what?
For that.
For love.
Not for love, but yeah.
You're in love with this bro. You want to give her the stomach. You want to laugh. You want to pour a little stomach juice on her ass and make her forget all about Magumba. And you only get one shot to make her forget about Magoon, but you gotta eat that monkey, you gotta spank her, you gotta spit in her mouth. You gotta do all nasty things. You gotta come in her eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? Look at Lee, you're all red in the face, cocksucker.
Spit in her mouth.
You never spit in a chick's mouth?
No.
Then you make out with her.
What?
None of that shit. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
Oh, everyone at the live podcast wants to make you happy, so they always take your side. No girl wants to get spit in her mouth. That's gross.
I talked to a girl the other night that was looking for chubby Judas spit in her mouth.
No, you were at work.
I called you, but you were at work that night.
No, you weren't.
Yes.
Any girl who wants to get a spit in her mouth is not a girl I want to hang out with. That's fucking disgusting.
You better get your shit together. Like I said, go to Joey Coco. No, go to joeydiaz.net. Joeydiaz.net. Get your fucking hoodie so you can wear it by yourself in the summer and sweat your balls off. Get the long. Glee, get it together. Get the national anthem out. Get the national anthem out. That's it. I'm pissed off.
All right.
Because we got to wake these motherfuckers up. It's over. What else? Go to joeydiaz.net. We got t-shirts there. If you buy two, go fuck your mother. All those t-shirts, they're on there. Go knock yourself out. Besides that, I love you guys. Do something for me this week, all right? Do a couple jumps. You didn't do no jumping jacks, Lee.
Yeah, neither did you.
All right, I'll do them right now. You know me. Don't fucking threaten me.
Wait. Let me see if this is a good version of the... Let's find out. I have no idea.
What are we doing, Lee? What is this shit? That's the one right there. That's the one. Get up. Put your hand over your heart. Realize where the love's coming from, you filthy motherfuckers. It's the United States of America. We're the baddest motherfuckers out there. We're the Koreans this week, bitch. Making fucking guaylo cookies somewhere. That's how we do it. Get up. Do a jumping jack. I swear to God, I'll fuck force feed you this fucking weed right now with chopsticks, cocksucker. This is what it's all about. We forgetting about how important this fucking song is. If you got a fucking problem, you got a fucking problem with something, put this fucking song on and get back to me, you fucking douchebags. I'm sick and tired of hearing your shit about unemployment. We're back. Houses, they're getting built. All right? Prostitution's up 8%. People are using their credit cards. The fucking loans are down. The people are buying fucking homes again. Interest loans are down. The fucking biggest, the lowest interest percentage to buy a house in I don't know how many fucking years. So for all you Obama haters and Rodney and get your shit together. Stop blaming everything on everybody the fuck else. Maybe it's got to do with you. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Get up. Fucking hug your fucking wife. Fucking shoot a load in her ass and become a fucking American and stop your whining. I love you, cocksucker.
That was like a Jewish keyword thing. You're like, the interest rate is down, the credit card use is up. You're like, it's like
that's right. So get it together. Get up and stop worrying about the shit you can't control. You control what the fuck you do today. It starts today, May 8th. Get out there, cut off a fucking Asian, and have a great day. I love you, cocksuckers. Joey Coco Diaz, my main man, Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew. That's all I got for you today.
Saga.